Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. Jeff, how are you doing this week, my friend?
I am doing well. Ready for some Super Bowl action. Can't get enough of Taylor Swift. Certainly looking forward to that. And yeah, it's kind of Penn State Iowa week here on the Penn State campus.
It is. I'll tell you a couple of things going on. You mentioned Taylor Swift. I mentioned on a show earlier this week that I literally have never heard a Taylor Swift song. Now, maybe I have. It's in the background or something and didn't realize it, but I am totally and completely unaware, okay? I had one of our listeners like, you're kidding. And they send me a YouTube link to one of her songs like, you couldn't possibly have not heard this. I hit play and I'm like, I have zero memory of it, Jeff. I don't think I've ever heard it. So am I the last guy in the world who has not heard a Taylor Swift song?
I think you are literally the only person on earth who has not. I think most of the rest of the world, probably 10, 12 years ago, was caught up. I can't imagine that there's anybody coming out of the pandemic outside of you that had not heard at least, I would put the over under at least 5 Taylor Swift songs.
I have no awareness, and it's not like I'm someone who, I don't like Taylor Swift. I don't like that they show her on the TV screen. I am just that unaware, Jeff, okay? I am that unaware. So I'm a guy on my satellite radio. If I'm listening to music, it's the 60s channel, the 70s channel, classic vinyl. That's where my head is. So maybe I need to catch up on the world of what's going on, Jeff.
Understood.
Well, anyway, let's get to it. Just to start off, you and I have a huge Monday night, don't we?
We sure do. Really looking forward to this, Jim. And listen, if folks are coming in for the Penn State Rutgers wrestling meet or you're heading up to the Jordan Center later that night, again, it's this coming Monday, February 12th. We're going to start what will be a series of shows that we're going to be doing in conjunction with Sharmarette Curtis's Teammates for Life organization. And the show will be Winning Ways. And this will be, this coming Monday will be our debut. And it'll be from 5 to 6 at Cafe 210 West, downtown State College. One of the, I think, iconic stops for students at Penn State. I think everybody at one point or another, you have to in the spring or fall sit outside some afternoon at Cafe 210. We will not be sitting outside, mind you. We're stupid, but not that stupid. We will be in the back where they normally would have the live band performances. And we're going to have a show. The festivities down there will kind of run 4:30 to 6:30. So we'll kind of have a little bit of a half hour pregame, probably about a half hour postgame down there as well. But the show itself will air from 5 to 6 on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox in the State College and Center County area. There will be food specials. They normally have their burger basket as a special for happy hours on Mondays. That will be the case with us being there on a Monday. There will be some really neat drink specials, and I'll let you maybe talk a little bit more about that. But really cool beer, tequila, other specials that will be going on surrounding the event. Sharmarette Curtis, as we mentioned, will be there. Legendary field hockey coach at Penn State, probably next to Joe Paterno, the greatest ambassador for Penn State athletics, I think, in my lifetime. And she has now started a venture, Teammates for Life, where it's really about connecting successful women who are Penn State alums, a lot of them will be from Penn State athletics, but not all of them, just Penn State alums, and connecting them with the current student athletes, female student athletes at Penn State, and just kind of letting them network and letting them see, man, this is the world of possibilities. It's at your fingertips through, you know, the hard work that you put in as a Penn State student athlete here in the doors that can open down the road. So excited to be teaming up with Charmer at Curtis on anything, but I think this venture in particular is really exciting and really worthwhile. And then we'll have Carolyn Keeger, the head coach of the Lady Lion basketball team, a player or two from her squad will also be joining us down at Cafe 210 West. And you and Landon Tangwall will be hosting this. We have another Penn State student that'll be helping out as well, a female student who's cutting her teeth in the business here. And so all of this will be occurring. I think it's really exciting. You look at what the Lady Lion basketball program is doing. I think on the cusp here of getting into the NCAA tournament at the end of this season, and maybe kind of taking that next step and getting Penn State back to being in contention on a regular basis in the Big Ten Conference. And, you know, Carolyn Keeger is a really dynamic personality as well. I don't think we're going to be wanting for passion or enthusiasm from our guests here on Monday night. That, I think, is very safe to say.
Well, I'm really looking forward to talking to Coach Keeger. The basketball team, the women's basketball team, if you haven't been paying attention, this is a team that since Coach Keeger's gotten here, her first year they won 7 games, then 9, then 11, then 14. Right now they are at 16 wins already. They are firmly in the tournament, Jeff. So it's exciting. A 5-year overnight success, if you will, for the women's basketball team. So she'll be there. I'm really looking forward to that. You mentioned the drink specials. I want to mention the beer, which is from a company called Greater Good Imperial Brewing. They are out of Massachusetts, but the founder of the brewery is a Penn State grad, now moving his beer into Pennsylvania. Cafe 210 will be the first bar downtown to be carrying their beer. And anybody who has tailgated with me knows about their Pulp Daddy beer, which is phenomenal, Jeff. I don't know if you got a chance to try it when we got together. Did you?
Oh, I did indeed. And yes, I will vouch for it is delish.
That's being introduced on tap Monday night at the cafe. That's reason enough to show up. I just want to mention, you mentioned the young woman that is Kendall Skalicki, who will be with us. She has begun her own show on the Keystone Sports Network called It's All Blue and White. She did her first podcast with Char Moret, who she interviewed. Go to our app or to our website, and you can listen to that. But, Jeff, the other part, it's kind of interesting. There is a wrestling meet that evening at 7 o'clock. So we're starting this kind of early, like you mentioned, at 4:30. It's a chance to get there, eat first, and a chance to meet Jeff Byers. And, Jeff, just remind me, are you going to have all that security around you that you normally need, or are you going to actually mix with the folks?
You know, Jim, for this one occasion, and primarily just as a favor to you, I'm actually going to just try to be amongst the people, try to reconnect with the common folk, as I like to call them, out there. So, yeah, we're going to leave the security detail, I think, outside, is at least the current plan for this particular event.
Jeff, you are truly, truly a man of the people. And just how popular is Jeff? I got to relay this story to you, Jeff. Do you know, occasionally I have listeners, we're mostly audio. People will hear my voice and recognize who I am. And I just recently had someone, oh my God, are you Jim Galante from the show? I said, yeah, I am. Oh my God, is it true you really know Jeff Byers? And I said, yes, it's true. Tell me about him. What's he like in real life? And I said, he's just as spectacular as he is when you hear him on the air. But anyway, Jeff, so a little more serious with the wrestling meet. It's a special event because it's at the BJC for this. Who better to tell us what that kind of event is like? It is special when the wrestling team is at the Bryce Jordan Center, isn't it?
It is. And I know, you know, it's a Monday night this year, which is unusual. And I know not as convenient for fans as many would like. TV largely dictates the sports world we live in, and I'll just leave it at that. But listen, the Jordan Center meet has become a spectacle, Jim. I mean, it is, even if you are not a wrestling fan at all, it is worth going to one of these Jordan Center meets at some point just to take in, again, the spectacle of it all. Penn State, to its credit, has done a fantastic job of making little adjustments over the years. And I think like the last 3 years that they've run this, it has just been as smooth of an operation and as big time a feel as you could have around a sporting event. They have the flames shooting out when the wrestlers come through the tunnel. They have the carpet laid out. They're running up. It is a full house. You know, I know at least as we're recording this, there are still some tickets available, but I mean, it's going to be well over 15,000 in a nearly 16,000 seat facility. And it's just electric. It is a fun atmosphere. They're on the raised platform there on the Jordan Center floor. So it has the feel of an NCAA championship because of that element. It's just a really cool big time event. And listen, Rutgers has a good team. I think they're a good dual meet team. I think in the tournament rankings, they're like 22nd or 23rd this week. But this is a good dual meet team. Scott Goodale, their head coach, is just, I think, as good as it gets when it comes to both being a good person and just somebody who gets the most out of his athletes. And so I'm glad that Rutgers will have the opportunity to see what that Jordan Center atmosphere is like. I think that's a big deal as they will take that back to their home venue, which is also a pretty neat place.
All right, very good. That's going to have to be it for quarter one. But Jeff, we're not done talking about wrestling. I got a couple questions for you when we come back. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. We're talking about this coming Monday. So much going on, Jeff. We got the event, of course, at Cafe 210. If you're in town, that's from 4:30 to 6:30. Drink specials, food specials, great new beer from Greater Good Imperial from a Penn Stater. It's called Pulp Daddy, is now on tap. Best beer I've ever had. And we have also tequila drink specials. If you want to look up the drinks, go to 21 Seeds, SEEDS.com. It's a woman-owned tequila company. They have some great flavors there. Check them out. There'll be those drink specials. Just a great time. And as we were finishing up in quarter number one, Jeff, we were talking about you could come there first, then make your way over the BJC to watch Penn State wrestling. And you were talking about what an event it has become. It's not just a wrestling match anymore. It's a spectacle. When the wrestling team is there, it's something very special. it's no longer a wrestling match. It's now an event.
It really is. And I think, you know, I've had people ask, and there's a lot of people that would like to see more matches over at the Jordan Center, maybe the entire schedule. And, you know, I'll get people talking to me, well, Iowa does all of theirs at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Why can't Penn State do it at the BJC? And, you know, I think Kale, and I'm of the same mindset right now, there's a couple of things. One is when you do it once a year, it does have that spectacle feel to it. It makes it a special event. Like, this is something that stands out from the rest of the schedule for sure. And I think there's something to that. The old always leave them wanting more type of thing. I think that's not a bad way to look at it. But the other part of it, and I think, Jim, if you talk to the longtime basketball fans, and they were honest with you, like, they regret giving up the home court advantage that Rec Hall provided. In Rec Hall, the fans are right on top of you. It is, when you get 6,500 in there, it is an electric atmosphere. And I don't think Kale wants to give up that home mat advantage that they have with wrestling in Rec Hall. Again, do you do it once a year at the Jordan Center? And, you know, if the Jordan Center is packed, yeah, that's a special feel too. But there is something to Rec Hall and not just the history there, but just the feel, the electricity that can be generated in that smaller, close to the mat venue that Rec Hall provides. So, yeah, I think that the Jordan Center is really cool, but I really like having it once a year. I think it makes it feel extra special when you do that, and then you get back to your home where, again, they have sold out now 70 consecutive times at Rec Hall. Like, they are filling that place every time, pretty much no matter what. So, the Jordan Center has become a spectacle. It is a really neat big-time event, but I think part of it is because they do it once a year, and Rec Hall is the true home for Penn State wrestling.
And what is the capacity at Rec Hall?
It's about 6,500, maybe a few more than that, 6,600, somewhere in there. And then, you know, they have standing room only. So probably the seating capacity for wrestling is in that 6,300 neighborhood. And then they always have, you know, standing room only there as well.
I'm in a total agreement with you, Jeff, because even if they took it to the Bryce Jordan Center, and if it weren't the novelty of the once a year event, but someone could argue, well, gee, maybe we could still get 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 per match over at the Bryce Jordan Center. Wouldn't that be better? No, if you have 9,000 people in a 16,000 seat arena, it's not the same.
It's not. And, you know, and Penn State may be able to get more than that. You know, I don't know. Well, we'd have to see how it plays out. And part of it would depend, you know, right now they might be able to get 12, 13, 14,000 as an average over there. But, you know, at some point this run of championships is going to end. And then, you know, again, I think, even with the current situation, I just think having that packed atmosphere at Rec Hall is also something special.
Yes, it really is. There's nothing like a full house. And it's actually fun, you know, when the basketball team ventures back to Rec Hall from the Bryce Jordan Center, when they do that, that becomes the special event too. So Rec Hall is still a treasure on the Penn State campus. All right, Jeff, just the last thing for those if you're going to a wrestling meet Monday night, how about stopping and seeing Jeff specifically over at Cafe 10 prior to heading over to the Bryce Jordan Center. Speaking of these events, Jeff, you and I had a really great opportunity last week to attend an event for the incoming freshmen of Penn State football. It was a bowling event. You and I broadcast from there. Now, we were not allowed to interview the incoming freshmen. We did get to meet them and talk to them, but we did get long snapper Tyler Dzanski and punter Riley Thompson. And Jeff, I'm not sure if I've enjoyed meeting a Penn State athlete more than I did meeting those two young men.
I am right there with you. And it's one of those things, Jim, where I just think one of the things that I love most about sports, and like when you see the Super Bowl coverage or you see the Olympic coverage, right? Like it brings in more than just the diehard sports fans. And it's because of the stories that are being told, right? Like the, and it's amazing how many heart-wrenching and unbelievable obstacles that the athletes overcome, both, you know, in getting to the Super Bowl and getting to the Olympics. But again, it's the storytelling that the networks provide through the athletes that I think really draws in all kinds of people. Again, you don't have to be a sports fan, diehard sports fan per se, to enjoy those events. What draws you in is the stories. And I just thought both of those players, Jim, did a terrific job of giving us their background in a really interesting way. And they're just both compelling kids. They're easy kids to talk to. I think after the conversation, very easy kids to root for. And very different stories, obviously, in how they came to Penn State and the backgrounds. But I think that is, again, to me, I just know even with, you know, covering the wrestling team, like one of the things I enjoy most is hearing about the different backgrounds that these kids come from, the different experiences that they've had, and how it's all kind of led to them now joining together and coming together at Penn State. And I just think with any sports team, that's probably the case, where there's just some really interesting stories, and then it's fun to see how they all blend together and try to come together to make something special happen within their program. But yeah, I'm with you. I thoroughly enjoyed the event and the conversation, and I was pretty enthralled with the stories they told. And they're both great because they can give you a lot of the sports details and stuff, but they also are well-rounded enough that, you know, we can talk about other sports experiences, other life experiences, classes and food choices and all of that. I just thought it was a thoroughly entertaining and enjoyable show that we had with them.
And if you didn't hear that live, you can go back to either 98.7 The Fox and take a listen to it. You could also go to our website, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and go back and listen to the interview. And I find it fascinating, Jeff, in getting this opportunity during the off season. It's not like media access in season when it's like, well, tell us about this specific play last week. And the players are well-trained in that coach speak where they tell you very little. But this was just, it's casual, and we get the backstory. And both of them, as you mentioned, from very different places, but had great backstories. Riley Thompson, I think a lot of people know he is Australian. So first of all, it's just a pleasure to listen to him talk with the Australian accent. But he gave us his backstory of playing Australian rules football, going to a place there where they trained these Australian players on what it would take to become a punter, kicker in the U.S. And it was just a lot of fun to hear that backstory and hear more about it. And I'll tell you what, I think I might have been most fascinating was your question and your conversation with him about eating kangaroo. Jeff, earlier I told you I have never heard a Taylor Swift song. I had never heard about eating kangaroo.
I didn't know that you could do it. I went on a trip, probably about 15 years ago, roughly. And it was the most adventurous trip of my life. Like I went skydiving for the only time in my life. I went scuba diving for the only time in my life. And yeah, the one night we were out at a restaurant and we had seen kangaroos, we had seen wallabies. We actually went to a wallaby farm as part of the trip. And I'm looking at the menu and I'm like, wait, they have kangaroo on the menu? And then we got into a discussion with the waiter there. And he's like, well, yeah, kangaroo are kind of like deer here. Like, you're not going to see it on all of the menus. But yeah, there are places where you can get it. And it's not uncommon. I wouldn't exactly call it common, but it's not uncommon for folks to eat it. And yeah, I was just wondering as we were talking with him, I'm like, I'll bet he's probably at least tried it. And yeah, I'm with you. It's fun when you hear about different experiences, again, that people have had throughout their lives, you know, whatever the circumstance.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. And when we come back, I've got one or two more questions on kangaroo and having that as your meal, Jeff. Before we then, I want to talk to you also about that incoming freshman class. As we mentioned, we were not able to interview them on the air. It was a bowling event, so they were bowling as part of an event, an NIL event. But we did get to chat off the air with the players. I want to ask you about that and what your impressions were from some of the freshmen. We're going to get to that, Jeff, right after this. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. This is quarter number three of our show. When we last left you, we were talking about eating kangaroo, which I'm not sure who had that on their bingo card for our show today, but I had two last questions for you on kangaroo. First of all, how is it prepared? And second, I mean, do they like farm raise kangaroos like we do beef, you know, with cows? Or is it like you mentioned deer where it gets hunted? How, answer me those questions, Jeff.
Yeah. So There are places that will raise kangaroo with the idea that they're going to become meals. I don't think there's a lot of places like that, but there are some in the conversations we had over there. And it's a lot like venison in terms of there's a lot of different ways you can prepare it. And I suspect, depending on how it's prepared, may form your opinion of whether or not you enjoy it or not. Ours was grilled. The restaurant we went to, it was like a grilled kangaroo, and I think they had there was some sort of a sauce that we dipped it into, and I thought it was a little gamey. It reminded me of bear here, and I've had bear before too, and I find that to be just a little gamey. I don't think it was awful, but it just was not my favorite taste. But I think Riley was talking about it, that they can grind it into sausage type form, which I mean, I love like venison jerky is one of my all time favorite things. So they do that sort of stuff over there with kangaroo. I did not have the only kangaroo I had was the grilled. And again, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever had, but it wasn't something I was going to be running out and getting the recipe for to grill up anytime soon.
Okay, Jeff, let's get back to talking football, or at least some of the football players. Again, this was an event for the incoming freshmen, the 16 early entries, and we were restricted from talking to them on the air. but it didn't mean we couldn't chat with them, you know, during the event. I don't know how much you got the opportunity. I got a chance to chat with a couple of them, and two impressions I came away with. Number one, just what nice young men they were. And I realized this was an event that maybe they're on their best behavior and all that, but they just the body language, they seemed happy to be there. They seemed happy to engage with the people that they were there with bowling with, the Penn State donors, us, you know, from the media, whatever. They were wonderful. And the second thing I took notice of, besides how young they look, still, they were big young men. And very few of them did I see. And I said to myself, you know what? That's a guy who needs to trim down a bit. That's a bit of a dad bod there, or baby fat on them. There was not much of that at all, Jeff.
No, it's funny. So that was going to be my number one thing. You stole the thunder a little bit, but I'm like, holy cow, am I getting old? Like, those kids looked so young, and they are. I mean, they're you know, 17, 18, maybe 19 at the most, but my goodness, do they look young. Now, some of them looked really big, and yeah, I'm with you. A couple of the guys, I mean, their shoulders are, I don't know how you fit through doorways with those shoulders. Holy cow. But yeah, they are. They're just very good at conversing, which, listen, not a lot of young people. I got to tell you, Jim, and you know, I get out at different events and see different things, and there are some, obviously, that are terrific. I mean, it's not an across-the-board thing one way or the other, but I will tell you, I am always surprised at how many young people, I think today, really struggle at just being able to be talkative and communicative with older generation people. And I'm with you. I didn't see a single one there. And I didn't talk to a ton of them, and I didn't talk to any of them very long, but I was watching the interaction within the group, the players themselves. And as you said, there were, you know, a bunch of donors and other folks around, and eavesdropping a bit and just listening to the conversations. And they were, nobody seemed uncomfortable. I'll put it that way. They all seemed very relaxed, very comfortable with who they are, but very comfortable in engaging in conversation and open about answering questions that folks had. I always come away from those types of interactions just feeling good about, in this case, Penn State football, but more so, more broadly, I guess the kind of the future of the country, because we hear a lot about, man, these kids are just on video games. They, you know, and there are mental health issues, and I'm not saying there aren't mental health issues or anything here, but it just was really fun to see them engaging in just a fun event. And listen, they're also competitive. I will say, watching the bowling, and there was not a lot of great bowling going on, and I recognize not good bowling. I'm very, very familiar with it. There was a lot of that going on, but they were getting into it, and, you know, wanting to beat one another too. Like, the competitive juices were still flowing. Like, you can't put a cap on that stuff.
It's so true. And I'll just give you a couple interactions. I got to chat with Cooper Cousins. I think we all know, very big young man. He's listed at 6'6", 323 pounds. Now, Jeff, I am approximately 5.5 foot tall, okay? So I'm going to look up to most of these players. Oh, my goodness, is Cooper Cousins. He is all of that, 6'6", 320. However, with that said, he was as nice and polite a young man as I think I've ever met. We only chatted for a couple minutes. I was at an event in Erie, his home turf, And initially he was supposed to be there. There were some technicalities about the opportunity there, so he wasn't able to make it. We chatted a bit about that. Some people from the Lake Erie Penn State group, he knows them. We chatted about them. He was as nice as can be, and he was like, "Hey, Jim, if you ever want to interview me, just let me know. Here's my number. Be glad to." Now, I'm not sure the coaching staff would be as happy about that, but it was just such a pleasant young man to talk to. And and the other thing with all of this is, you know, from you and I have both gotten to know Landon pretty well. And Landon and I talk about golfing quite a bit, which I think is going to be a sight to see. Landon and I have already committed. We are going to golf together once the weather gets nicer. And you mentioned golf to any of these guys. Tyler Dzanski, "Oh, you guys golfing? Count me in. I'm there." Cooper Cousins, "Golfing? Love to do it." But anyway, I mentioned Cooper Cousins, but I also noticed a couple of these other, like Garrett Sexton, and Egan Bowyer, who are these tackles. Egan Bowyer is 6'7", 250 pounds. The other one is Liam Andrews. And the tight end, Luke Reynolds. All of these guys, they look, they're cut, they're well-built, but they can put more pounds on, Jeff, quite a bit. And yep. It's like... And you know it's not going to take long to that Penn State strength and conditioning program does do that. And I'm saying, oh boy, these guys are going to be huge once they get through the strength and conditioning program.
Yeah. No, I think the future looked very bright. And again, not just in terms of football prowess. Obviously, we didn't see them displaying any specific football skills at the event. But yeah, again, the shoulders on some of those guys are just ridiculous how broad they are. And yeah, I'm with you. Once they get into the strength training and the development programs, it's kind of hard to imagine just how massive a couple of those guys are going to get. And but again, to me, the bigger takeaway is, you know, I think especially in this day and age, like, you want to feel good about the teams that you're rooting for, especially at the college level. And the two things about it is, I think, one, you can feel good about that, but like, these felt like kids that are here for the right reason. Like, I think they are genuinely pursuing a college degree, wanting to make a difference, both on and off the field. And then, yeah, obviously, as Penn State fans, you're hoping that they're terrific football players, and I suspect most of them will turn out to be just that. But the perspective that they all seem to bring, again, to me, is a big deal.
You know, Jeff, sometimes I think we're afraid to meet the players because of what we might find out, okay, that these aren't people that you want to root for. My experience, I think, like yours, has been it's just the opposite, that they are the kind of young men. Now, you and I, we both admit it, we're Penn State fans. I want the Penn State players to be the good guys that you root for. I just want to say, based on, like, a month ago, I got to do an event with the basketball team. I felt the same way about those players. You've told me enough story about the wrestlers that they are that kind of high-character athletes. And now, having these conversations, and I'll circle back to, you know, Tyler Dzanski, Riley Thompson, seeing how they interacted with each other, both on special teams and talking about it, I even have more of an appreciation for what both of them do. They even brought up, and it was Riley Thompson who brought up that Tyler Dzanski, how good he was as a long snapper getting downfield and making tackles, and that he was the best at that, had the most tackles for a long snapper in the country, which I didn't realize. And you know what? it's going to make me watch punts a little bit different this coming season, Jeff. All right, that's going to have to be it. Stick around. We got lots more to go. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. Jeff, we're talking a lot of feel-good type things the first three quarters of our show today. I'm going to shift gears quite a bit for quarter number four. I wanted to get your take on the NCAA is doing an investigation of Tennessee, and it's based on, of course, NIL offering players incentives to go to the school, working with the collectives. And, you know, I think the first reaction to that from most fans is, I'm shocked. Really? These schools are offering incentives to attend their university. I think it's a well-known secret that pretty much most of the schools are already doing that. And so it comes down to this question about the NCAA, and I'm curious which side are you on with this. Is it either, hey, everybody's doing it, what do they think they're doing here? You know, are they just picking on Tennessee? This makes no sense. Or are you on the side that says, you know what? If they're going to put an end to this, it's got to start somewhere. Somebody's got to be, I say the first. I know Florida State, Florida, there's other schools, but somebody's got to be at the top of the list that they go after first before they can go after everybody. So which way are you looking at this, Jeff?
Well, here's where I'm at, Jim, and I think Tennessee has a pretty strong case here. And again, I'm not intimately familiar with either the charges or the defense, just on what I'm reading. But the thing that I think there's two things here that I think are in play, and maybe more than that. But the two overriding things to me, one is, by the NCAA's own admission, these rules are changing and they're trying to figure it out, and they've been malleable. Like, to try to nail a program for, hey, you're not doing this NIL stuff that we've allowed to become the wild, wild west the way we think you should. It's like, well, okay, you've given pretty much no direction on that. And the one direction that they have given, that the NCAA has told the schools, is that, listen, you as an athletic department, we don't want you controlling the NIL stuff. Like, that's not your purview. We don't want the coaches or the athletic directors going to the NIL folks and saying, listen, this is how we want you directing the money or anything. And then the NCAA turns around and says, hey, Tennessee, lack of institutional control. You weren't controlling the NIL stuff. Right. That's what you told us we couldn't do. You told us we couldn't have institutional control over the NIL stuff. And now the NCAA is turning around and saying, oh, we've got a problem here. There's a lack of institutional control over the NIL stuff. What? That is, to me, insane. And par for the course for the NCAA, but absolutely absurd.
I'm going to play a little bit devil's advocate with you here, Jeff, is the public, we all complain about NIL, and when the NCAA finally tries to do something about it, we have an issue with that. Now, I think there's no doubt that it's going on, that the players are getting an incentive either out of high school or through the transfer portal to attend a specific university. Now, I find it fascinating that the people that are involved in Tennessee were saying, that's not going on. But the attorneys general of Tennessee and I think Virginia have gotten involved suing the NCAA and essentially are saying, yeah, it's going on, but that it should be legal. By not allowing that to happen, you are curtailing what the players are capable of making. You know, you're limiting their income possibilities, and that's un-American. You can't do that. So, you know, it's like I've read some stuff on social media, specifically when the head coach of Boston College left the head coaching job to take a coordinator position in the NFL, and it was like, college football's a mess, and the NCAA's not doing anything about it. Well, here they're trying to do something about it. If you don't want them to do this, what do you want them to do? And the second part of that is, if you don't want the NCAA to do anything about it, then you can't, you lose your right to complain when schools are giving out all this money in the transfer portal to draw a player to their school.
I guess I'm not clear on what the NCAA is doing about it.
Well, the investigation into Tennessee is this, along with a collective, you're trying to create an incentive for players to attend your school. If you come here, you'll get this money, which the rule all along or the intent of NIL was not to use collective money or NIL money as a draw to get a player to a school. It's once the player is there, he's allowed to use his name, image, and likeness. It was not supposed to be money to get them to attend a school. Now, I don't know if it's possible to police that, but, you know, if that's what they're trying to police, they're policing what the actual rules are. So I guess the first question is, as fans, do we have an issue with schools using money as an incentive for players to attend the school?
Well, but the issue, Jim, is that the NCAA is telling the schools you can't be involved in this. And then they're getting upset when the schools aren't involved in this, when they're not controlling it. Like, that's to me, absolutely insane.
Well, I understand that point, but do you really think that, you know, if the head coach, if Nick Saban at Alabama said to the collectives there, do not do that, it's against the rules. Now, you're independent, you're not under the auspices of the Alabama University, but I'm telling you, don't do it because we can get in trouble for it. Are those collectives still going to do it? If the school says do not do it and makes it plain, we will not tolerate it.
But the NCAA is telling the schools you can't do that. You can't talk to the NIL folks and tell them one way or the other.
You do not have to talk directly to them to talk to them. At a press conference, James Franklin says, we don't expect, you know, he could announce it publicly to the media. He could tell us, Jeff. And the message will reach the collectives, don't you think?
Yeah. How about this? How about we allow the schools to run their athletic programs? The SEC and the Big Ten are going to get together here. Again, the NCAA, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not really sure that it matters what happens here with this Tennessee case, because the NCAA is irrelevant in the overall scheme of things now in big-time college athletics. What I think is going to be interesting is what this you know, coalition with the Big Ten and the SEC decide to do moving forward. Part of it is they have got to get out in front. Whether we like the pay-for-play model, whether we think it's the end of college sports as we know it, whatever, I am telling you, anybody that is paying any attention to the courts, like, that is coming down the road. The schools are going to be forced to share the TV revenue and the revenue streams that are coming in with the student athletes. We have this Dartmouth case, Jim, that is, I think, fascinating to watch, where the basketball program up there their student athletes for Dartmouth, we're talking about, are being classified as labor, as employees of the university. Well, that clearly is coming. And again, whether the NCAA or the Big Ten and the SEC get in front of it, which would be the smart thing to do, and figure that out and how to manage it ahead of time, or if they wait like the NCAA did and bury their head in the sand, and then eventually the courts are going to say, hey, listen, you have to do this. So hopefully the Big Ten and the SEC, again, figure out something that is workable with the student athletes that keeps some semblance of the framework of college athletics as we have it. And again, you get this figured out. But yeah, the schools have to be involved with the NIL stuff. Like, to me, this was just an idiotic setup that the NCAA tried to contrive initially. And I don't think it's going to hold up in court if Tennessee or any of these schools, or more importantly, the student athletes, go after them. Like, this to me is ultimately going to be irrelevant.
Well, Andy Shea and I talked about that ruling and with Dartmouth, and I think that's not going to be the end of the story. That's the beginning of the story. And
for sure,
one of the things that I called scary with that is within the ruling, they talked about profitability is not a factor in this. So if you're Dartmouth, now, like at Penn State, football makes money. I'm not sure what other sports make money, if basketball does, if wrestling does, but the vast majority do not make money. So if that means they are all employees and all need to be paid, perhaps Penn State could afford it. Do you think Dartmouth could afford it? And here's the unintended consequence, potentially, is Dartmouth basketball players are doing this thinking they're doing that in their best interest. What's going to keep Dartmouth or perhaps the entire Ivy League from saying, you know what, guys, we lose money on this. We don't make money from you, Dartmouth basketball team. You know what? We're an institute of higher learning. You know what? We're just going to end sports. We can't afford to pay all of you.
Well, and that's why I think what is happening, and part of this may be just hoping, but I think what the Big Ten and the SEC are trying to figure out is, hey, if we set up, and again, I don't know all of the legal ramifications here, but basically a nonprofit where the, you know, the football programs are contributing to the non-revenue sports at these universities, can we set this up so that there's a workable model? Like, I think that is kind of the premise for at least part of what the Big Ten and the SEC are trying to do here. But it's a mess right now, and it's a mess that the NCAA created by not taking action earlier.
That I do agree with you 100%. They could have negated all of this a decade ago or two decades ago. Jeff, I got a feeling we're going to be talking about this a lot more during the off season. However, for right now, we are out of time. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.